Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is John Kopeck, the Treasury Financial Management Services Chief Information Officer. John, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
My pleasure.
Well, let's start with some basics. Treasury Department's Financial Management Service, what is the mission? It seems kind of obvious, but I always like to ask that question because I always learn something.
Treasury's Financial Management Service is the financial manager for the United States government. We basically have four core missions. The first one is to make the payments or disperse the government's monies. We do that to the tune of about 900 million payments per year. A majority of those payments are now electronic, and that's one of the initiatives we're working on is the all-electronic treasury. The other part of that is we also do the revenue collection for the federal government. That is also very important. You got to get money in to send money out. And we make approximately $3 trillion in receivables, collectibles for revenue on an annual basis. We also provide overall accounting for the federal government, not for an individual agency. We provide the public and others with the daily treasury statement, the monthly treasury statement, and we also do the end-of-year consolidated report of the federal government. And the last aspect that we work on is the collection of delinquent debt. Last year, we collected delinquent debt to the tune of about $6 billion, and we collected for the federal government, we collected for the states, and most of that, a big part of that, comes off of tax returns. So if you owe the government money and you think you're going to get a refund, you may or may not.
A lot of data, a lot of systems. So as the CIO, I'm sure you are responsible for kind of ensuring that those systems work, that data gets collected, and then the data can get analyzed. Did I sum that up okay as part of how you support that mission?
Well, that's part of it. We are not a typical CIO shop. Because of who we are basically utilizing the OMB 11-29 model of an organization and what the CIO's responsibilities are. All right. So while we have all these applications, programs, all that going on, we do not control the infrastructure that supports those directly. We have basically, in conjunction, working with BPD, outsourced our infrastructure to our sister agency under a program called Fiscal IT. Some of the other applications are supported by another outsourced infrastructure called the Treasury Web Applications Infrastructure, hosted by the Federal Reserve Banking System for us. So what we do is work very closely with our service providers to make sure that we have adequate protections and security and data integrity around all those things that we do, all that data that we collect, and then all those payments that we make.
So are you basically more of a strategic CIO than an operational CIO, meaning you don't necessarily worry about, is the network working, do we have enough storage? You have to say, under our service level agreement to your service provider, make sure that we have enough whatever.
That is true. All right, what you just said is true. Basically, what the CIO does for FMS and what our responsibilities are to be a thought leader as related to security, business analytics, business process improvement, business architecture, financial transparency, and other areas related to business processes as supported by IT. We are also charged with being not only a thought leader, but a thought mover, all right, to make sure that we are picking the right initiatives and then those initiatives are executed in the correct manner. We also seek to streamline, modernize, and improve all those business systems and their interrelationships because, you know, like they say, you can't do anything in the stovepipe. We safeguard the nation's revenues and payments and fulfill the mission by establishing and enforcing sound accounting practices and contingency planning and security plans to protect all that information. I don't have to tell you that FMS is entrusted with an incredible, enormous amount of information and that we take protecting that information extremely important, very, very critical to protecting people's privacy.
So give me a sense of your staff. How big is it? How many federal employees do you have? Do you have any contractors? Or because everything's outsourced, there's no need for contractors? And can you give me a sense of what your IT budget is for 2012?
We are in a period of transition. So right now, I probably have 195 so government FTE. Also, we probably have about 40 to 50 contractors on board. So our budget was $47.1 million. That includes $20.8 million for the operating budget, $26.3 million for salaries. The operating budget includes the contractor support and monies. That's about $16 million a year.
So you said you're in a period of transition. Give me a sense of what that transition is. Is it a reorg or what?
It is a reorg. When the effort called Fiscal IT was started, it was decided that BPD would do certain things and FMS would do certain things. So we took and we kind of drew a circle, cut it down the middle, and said IT infrastructure support is the responsibility of BPD. The support of the classic CIO functions, governance, program management, project management, SIPIC, security, the oversight and governance for those things will be provided by FMS. So they're sharing their infrastructure services. We're sharing our policy and guidance services.
How big of a change is it for you guys? I mean, were you at one time, maybe two, three, 4 years ago, responsible for the operations and the policy?
FMS, I believe, has been on the leading edge of the John Liu memo. All right. We were structured that way prior to him actually issuing that. We actually had two organizations. We had an IR organization that had the CIO in it. And FMS decided that, you know, we're going to pull these, quote, CIO functions out, leave the CIO with the infrastructure, and they created a new entity called the Business Architecture Office. The Business Architecture Office, I became the assistant commissioner for that, which models almost exactly what we're doing now.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to catch up on some more, because I think the reorg is very fascinating because it's a different way to approach the CIO's role. And with shared services, I think we may find more people heading in that direction. First, the break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is John Kopeck, the Treasury Financial Management Services Chief Information Officer.
If you want to enjoy the best Greece has to offer, you just can't miss the St. Catherine's annual Greek Festival this weekend in Falls Church, Virginia. Come out and enjoy the best homemade Greek foods in the area, like lamb, Athenian chicken, calamari, Greek salads, and don't forget the wonderful Greek desserts like baklava. You must taste this homemade sweet this weekend in Falls Church, Virginia at St. Catherine's annual Spring Festival. Call 703-671-1515, 703-671-1515.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is John Kopeck, the Treasury Financial Management Services Chief Information Officer. Now, John, before break, we talked a little bit about your office and how it's been reorged recently. How did that come to be? Because I think it's a very, very interesting setup. How did you get to sharing resources with the Bureau of Public Debt?
Both BPD and FMS work for the Fiscal Assistance Secretary, all right? And in a conversation with him, he asked the question, would it be, and I use the term profitable, will it save us time, money, energy, to maybe look at combining the two bureaus' IT infrastructure. Both organizations have pretty strong CIO organizations. The BPD organization has a lot of skill in providing shared service infrastructure. As a matter of fact, some of our applications prior to consolidation already resided at BPD. So three people, Kim McCoy, myself, and Chuck Simpson, looked at the potential of doing this, and we decided that, you know, we could probably make this happen. It's a good idea. We gave a rough order of magnitude in terms of what it might save in the out years, and so the decision was made to go forward.
I think because of the shared service concept is being pushed so hard by the Obama administration, by the Office of Management Budget. I mean, this is a perfect example. How long have you been under this kind of shared service setup?
Approximately 18 months. All right. And prior to that, we also used other shared services from BPD, obviously, and not only BPD. Our HR is a shared service. Our travel is a shared service. Our procurement is a shared service. Our IPP is a shared service that we're utilizing. Some of it provided by BPD. Oh, and accounting services. They provide our accounting services. So some of it provided by BPD, some of it by others.
Do you find that shared services is obviously beneficial to you guys beyond, above and beyond what the obvious, well, we don't have to worry about patches or we don't have to worry about security type stuff? Are you finding that the benefits are much bigger than the maybe you first thought?
You know, some of it's easier and some of it's harder. Am I still concerned about the security posture? Am I worried about patches being applied timely? Yeah, all right, because that actually still remains with us as looking and overseeing security within the fiscal IT organization. Other things, capacity planning, I actually leave that to the infrastructure person, and they take care of those things, which makes it easier. In addition to that, I think budgeting and planning for budget is easier because we actually get a bill, it's itemized, and we understand what it's for.
That's right there. I think people would appreciate that a lot more, especially in government. Let me jump over some of your priorities you want to get done over the next 6 or 9 months. Obviously, as you talked about, you're out of the operations for the most part and into the strategy, into the policy side. So give me a sense of what you're trying to get done.
There's actually more than I think we can handle, but we're working it, all right? The first thing is we need to establish and implement a business intelligence and business analytics program. We haven't really had a formal program, and we really need to set one up that allows people to gain insight and transparency into the data that we have, not only from their own business perspective, but from an enterprise perspective, looking at all of our information. The other part of that is to implement a business process management program. We're going through a lot of changes. Changes in reorganizations and organizations, not only with my organization, but with government-wide accounting, with payment management. And I think the BPM portion of this is extremely important to help us move forward and become more efficient. We need to implement a holistic security program for FMS and for fiscal service in the future. FMS chose consciously to combine cyber IT security, physical security, personnel security, risk management, contingency planning, and put them up under what we call our chief security officer. I think that's a really neat construct, and I don't know if any other government agencies are doing that, but I'm sure some public corporations, that's the kind of model that they use. We've got to complete the IT system reengineering and implementation of common services as related to fiscal IT. Going into it, we've got 2 email systems. We've got 2 calendaring systems. We've got 2 security systems. We've got, you know, got damn near 2 of everything. So we've rationalized those. And we've made some decisions about what products we're going to use, and that's actually going to come, I hope, to fruition by October this year. We've got to complete the architecture, both the business and the IT infrastructure architecture, for what we call the Financial Information Repository. This is a construct that sits on top of several data marts or data warehouses, whatever you want to call them. One of them is the Payment Information Repository. That contains payment information. We have a Collections Information Repository that has collections. We have a Debt Repository. So we need an overall construct that will allow us to get at the information either at an individual level or at a holistic across the enterprise level.
Let's just stop there for a sec because that's a full plate. As you said, trying to get everything done may be tough. Let me back up for a sec. Let me start with business analytics, business intelligence program. Are you guys looking to do what with your business intelligence, business analytics program?
Number one, understand our data. Number two, be able to provide transparency into financial transactions within the federal government to support decision-making either at an agency level or at a government-wide level. So data provided to OMB to help them in their decision-making, data provided to Congress, Senate to help them in their decision-making. Also, we can look at our own programs and see how we can improve debt collection, all right? How we can improve on the performance of, let's say, our revenue collection activities. So that's the kind of stuff we're looking to get out of this.
It seems like that everybody is going down this, a lot of people going down this path. Are you guys looking for a specific tool, something that you're going to maybe go out with an RFP on, or are you guys developing something in-house, maybe based on technology you already own?
What we have done is we are working with the Federal Reserve System, and we've asked them to provide us with an architecture, both business and IT architecture, around a financial information repository. We explained to them what we wanted, what we were looking for, and where the various repositories were, and the kind of data that they contain. So I'm actually going to a meeting on the 9th that they're going to present that.
So basically the financial repository, that architecture for that, and the business analytics and business intelligence tools, they're all kind of together, and maybe the tools will sit on top of the repository. Am I hearing that right?
The tools will sit on top of the repository. And again, I haven't seen the recommendation, but what I picture is kind of like a portal. You have this portal that allows you access to the financial information repository. Depending on who you are, what your authorities are, and those kinds of things, you could go to the repository and ask the broad question, which would then maybe bring together payments, collections, and debt data to allow you to do analytics on that. Or you might only be allowed into a small portion of it to look at it. We would also hoping to be able to put some, I hate to use the term canned reports, but some reports that the general public might be interested in. And, I don't know if that's, the payments map. Where are people getting paid? Where is Social Security going? How often do they get paid? What dollar amount? Is it stratified by age, by demographics, by, whatever? We're hoping to be able to provide that kind of information.
And once you get that architecture, then you'll kind of have a plan to go forward in terms of how the business intelligence, business analytics tools, where you'll go with those from there?
That's correct. We have, as part of this reorg, I have a director for business analytics and business intelligence. He's putting together a program in conjunction with our debt management folks to look at BI and BA. We have another individual who is charged with developing and implementing the business process management program within FMS. This is going to be provided by kind of like centralized guidance, but the actual work needs to be done within the individual business areas, both for BI and BPM. They know the data. They understand the workflows. They're the experts.
All right. You have a lot more priorities on your plate, but we're going to take a quick break. Come back. We'll revisit some more of them. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is John Kopek, the Treasury Financial Management Services Chief Information Officer.
Celebrate summer at Safeway's Barbecue Battle, June 23rd and 24th on Pennsylvania Avenue. Benefiting the Boys and Girls Clubs, this great family event features free food samples, free kids rides, and activities like NBA Nation. Plus 30 bands on three stages. Hear Soul Asylum and a special tribute to the legendary godfather of go-go, Chuck Brown. For more information, call 202-829-3099 or visit bbqdc.com. We'll see you at the BBQ.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today, John Kopek, the Treasury Financial Management Services Chief Information Officer. Now, John, before break, we're going through a lot of your priorities. You talked about business intelligence, business analytics. You talked a little bit about business process management program. But the other one that you talked about I thought was really fascinating is your new security framework for FMS, where you're combining physical, IT, and personnel security under kind of one person or one organization. Give me a sense of how it's going to work, because when I hear that, one thing I think of, HSPD-12.
Well, HSPD-12 is probably the harbinger of bringing at least PACS, personnel, physical security, and LACS, logical security, together. But what brought this all together is we have a lot of facilities throughout the country that on a periodic basis, we need to do security audits, for lack of a better term for them. We have the lockbox program for the U.S. government, and part of being able to look at a lockbox facility is to look at the personnel security practices, look at the physical security within that organization, and then look at the IT security. In the past, we were getting this done, but it was not as efficient as possible. We were basically in three different organizations and, you know, trying to get everybody scheduled and, you know, kind of on the same page to go to the right place at the right time was pretty difficult. And some of our business owners expressed that concern both to the commissioner and to myself and to the other HR person in this. So one of the things that FMS believes from the commissioner on down that a critical success factor for FMS is the security and integrity of our people, our places, our data, and our monies. So a group was formed under this critical success factor to see how can we improve this. Well, the group came back with a recommendation that we combine these programs, bring them all together, and take a holistic view of security throughout FMS. So a lot of people had a hard time believing that. So we had another study done internal. This was, you know, it's not we were paying some vendor $1 million to do this. But they came back and reached the same conclusion. And in terms of where this consolidated security office should be located as a business, should it be working for the chief financial officer, which is a model that will work? Should it be working for directly the chief operating officer, or should it be working for the CIO? I think it came out the CIO because our security vectors that and the threats that change the most are dealing with IT security. And while it may not be rocket science, it's close. So the threat vectors in personnel and physical have remained relatively constant. So it was decided to put it up under the CIO. In turn, we hired a chief security officer who has broad-based experience in IT, physical, personnel security, actually ex-military, and has a good background in this. His job is to make sure that the three aspects, the three pillars of our security program are treated equally, with due respect and due understanding.
That is very difficult. I think a lot of agencies can get on board with the logical access piece, but the physical access piece is more difficult because they don't have that one person. Where do you see this program going? Is it a fairly new program, or has it been in place for a little while? And what kind of benefits do you see that already happen or will that you hope to see in the future?
The formal program started in March of this year. I have personally seen benefits, and those benefits are from the aspect of, I think, improved cooperation, improved morale, and improved respect between the three disciplinary security disciplinary areas. Will this continue? I think so. Under fiscal service consolidation, I believe we're going to use the same model for security.
And is the end result, the goal, not just to bring those three things together, but to use your HSPD-12 badges to for physical access, for logical access, and then also as it relates back to personnel security, where if somebody leaves FMS, they're turned off right away, the badge no longer works. Is that the kind of the end result you're hoping for or you're close to?
We're close to. FMS has been, I believe, at the leading, bleeding edge of the implementation of HSPD-12. We can use our same badge for building entry and for logical access to the network. As a matter of fact, I think 100% of our employees and contractors have PIV badges. I think our current utilization rate to sign on to the network is probably around 60%. Which it's going to come 100% because it's going to be a requirement pretty soon. So, I mean, we're there. And in terms of the physical security, we're there on that also. We've upgraded our systems. Our systems are nationwide from San Francisco to Philadelphia to Austin to Kansas City. They all talk to each other. They all understand each other. the program I'm excited about. As a matter of fact, we are going to provide a shared service that will work with HR Connect, will work with GovTrip to where you can use your credentials to sign on to those. And that will be done through our single sign-on services.
I have to tell you, that is exciting because there's so much potential in HSPD-12 that I think a lot of agencies just have not taken advantage of. And you hear it from the smart card community, but, of course, they're all about it because that's what their passion is.
There's one other thing about that, all right? FMS has been in the business of issuing smart cards, PKI card credentials, for years because of our payments. To certify a payment, the certifying officer has to have a smart card. Since the individual agencies aren't there, we have been issuing those cards for years. One of my goals and one of the criteria for success is we no longer issue our cards, and we can use the government's cards.
You also are dealing with cloud internally in terms of some email and calendaring.
Our commissioner is very strong on Enterprise 2.0. So we looked at implementing E2.0 within FMS. One of the critical tools to that is, number one, it needs to be a cloud service. Number two, we had a group of individuals, all volunteers from across FMS, regions, local, that actually worked with the business folks to find out what their pain points were in terms of, you know, email and those kinds of things. So it was decided that we would do a pilot with Google Apps. Google Apps provides us email, provides us calendaring, it provides us collaboration.
About how many people are in the pilot?
There's 200 people in the pilot. I think the key to allow us to do this pilot is we have sensitive data, and one of the things that we insisted on as part of our requirements is that you must use our authentication mechanisms to allow access to our little share in your Google. And we actually provide the authentication services back to Google.
Unfortunately, we are out of time. It sounds like we could talk a lot longer, but we'll have to have you come back on in the near future. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today was John Kopeck, the Treasury Financial Management Services Chief Information Officer. John, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.